It's This Week in Bourbon, where passion and a healthy obsession of bourbon come together. And here's your headlines from March 11th, 2022. House Bill 500 passes to legitimize the Kentucky barrel selection process. Buffalo Trace OFC 1982 is being released in massive 6-liter bottles in the first ever NFT auction. And Heaven Hill releases 2 17-year-old bourbons. But before we begin, here's a quick word from our partners.
It's that time again to get bourbon strong with Give270. Purchase your $50 tickets for your chance to win from our 50 bourbon prizes. Don't miss out on rare bottles and grand prizes like the legendary Pappy Set, a Weller Rainbow, and the Blood Oath Trilogy. Hurry, only 3,000 tickets are available. Single bottle winners go back in for the grand prize draw. Will you win the ultimate Pappy Set or one of our other incredible prizes? Get your tickets now at Give270.org. Charitable gaming license ORG 000273.
It's that time of the year where everybody's starting to make their vacation plans on visiting Kentucky, the mecca of bourbon. And if you are coming to Kentucky, you need to make sure you visit us at Pursuit Spirits in Louisville. We're right in the heart of Clifton, near Butchertown and Nulu, and only just a few miles away from downtown Louisville. But when you do come, you need to book your experience to go do our whole shebang. This is the one that's really the star of the show. You get a full-on tasting. You get to do your own personal barrel selection experience. And you get to grab a whiskey thief and fill your bottle directly from the barrel. We're doing something completely brand new that nobody else is doing here in bourbon country. Plus, you get a free sweet tasting glass at the end of it. I guarantee you, you're going to end up being one of the many people that's also leaving us a 5-star review. So make sure you come and check us out. You can book your reservation by going to pursuitspirits.com and clicking the Visit Us button. From their bar to yours, Chad and Sarah of the popular YouTube channel It's Bourbon Night bring you their favorite at-home old-fashioned mix with the new Elemental Elixirs Golden Hour Syrup. It's a custom-made syrup with notes of bold black tea, warm spices, and orange zest. All you need is your favorite whiskey and ice. No bitters needed. One bottle makes 16 drinks, so that's only $1 cocktail before you add your own whiskey. They can also be enjoyed in other cocktails or spirits, mocktails, coffee, tea, and anything you can think of. It's crafted locally in Lexington, Kentucky, and you can get your bottle now at whiskeyambitions.com. Welcome back, everybody. It's another edition of This Week in Bourbon coming at you. We have actually a lot of news to kind of cover. I'm really surprised. As we were closing down last week, there were still more press releases coming in. And I said, well, we'll go ahead and roll them into the next week. I ended up actually removing a few news stories just because there was so much stuff that happened with bourbon. I just said, well, we're not going to talk about some random wine stuff or anything like that. We'll keep it in bourbon. And we already kind of talked about a lot of stuff this week, especially on the roundtable. And when it comes to our first story, and that's talking about Pritzker buying Bardstown Bourbon Company. But we'll get that to the second. I mean, it's just a lot of bourbon news, but a lot of bourbon things happen on our end, too.
Yeah, I guess we're going to have to do This Day in Bourbon. And it'll turn into just like 24-hour, like Fox News or CNN
bum, bum, coverage. Bum, bum.
You know, dun, 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 just in.
We're going to need some sort of sweet jingle
alert.
Music. I know. I mean, I know like people are loving alert. This. Like, I see the download numbers. Like, this is hitting... meeting and sometimes exceeding our regular Thursday podcast. So people love just getting the news roundup. And I know there's a bunch of people in the industry too that we all love to read Mark Brown's newsletter, but we all don't want to read about financials and vodka every single day. So we try to take all the nuggets out there for you.
I usually read about, it's on average maybe 1.5 articles on the Mark Brown newsletter out of like, I don't know, there's probably what, 10 to 15 per day.
Easy.
And I'm like, scroll wine, seltzers, beer, whiskey. All right, I'll read that. More wine, seltzers, cannabis.
Grapes.
I'll read that. Yep. Yeah, so we extract all. Mark Brown does an excellent job, and I'm so thankful he sends that. But we extract what we want for the bourbon industry. Mm-hmm.
That some Google news, some Park Street news, some ADI newsletter news. I kind of just take as much as I can and put it out there for y'all. So let's dive
into
it.
And I do nothing. I'll just show up.
You bring the great side of things where you just kind of go in blind. You're like, yeah, that's cool. Tell me more.
Let's see what else, what dumb thing I can come up with today. What analysis I can.
The good part is that it's always a podcast. And I get to edit it after we're done here. So nobody will know a difference. So we talked about it on the roundtable, which you heard yesterday, but Pritzker Private Capital, otherwise known as PPC, they are a leader in family direct investing. They have announced the acquisition of Bardstown Bourbon Company, also called BBC, who is an innovative distiller, producer, and bottler of premium Kentucky bourbon and rye whiskey brands such as Pursuit Spirits, Pursuit United. PPC is investing alongside members of the Bardstown Bourbon management team and its current investors. And Mark Irwin, president and CEO of Bardstown Bourbon's current management, will continue to lead the business. However, financial terms were not disclosed. I don't want to go too much into it because we went that like 20 minutes or 25 minutes on yesterday's episode.
I would like to know the financial terms. That's always, it's always interesting. Like how much do they make, those original shareholders?
Yeah, it's like if you sell X many bottles, you're worth this much, or what kind of perceived value. I don't understand how multipliers work, but I'd be interested to see how that all folds into it.
Yeah, it's curious because you're like, I'm trying to like run the math in my head. Like, all right, they spent this much on a distillery. They have this many warehouses with this much bourbon in their name. And it's like, how much is all that worth, you know, the land and everything? It's got to be up there. So who knows?
Yeah, that's, well, they've got a lot of land. They're still building more warehouses. It's kind of like you look into it and, man, I would say that, you know, the original investors, they got out at a good time because it's still, they made a wallop on their investment. And I feel like Pritzker is going to come in and make a wallop on their investment too, because we've been saying it for a while. We're still probably in the early stages of what this is all going to look like. And there's only growth from here on out from what everybody can kind of see.
Yeah. And kudos to the leadership team at Bardstown. You know, they've had this vision and they've built this great thing. And it sounds like they're going to stick to, you know, what got them here. And, you know, really what got them here was contract distilling, you know, with a little majority or minority focus on their brands and the hospitality side, but, you know, mostly the, you know, contract distilling side. And it's great to see that they're going to, you know, kind of double down in that respect and move, keep that aspect going for the industry. So a lot of great companies, you know, are involved at that place. And it's good to see that we're all going to have a safe home there for years to come.
Yeah. Don't fix what ain't broke. Keep using the same play. If the snap and then the wide fade out keeps working, just keep running that play. Don't stop.
That's right. Yeah. To the post route every time.
Every time. X. Button hook.
Throw it to
one
X
guy,
and
give
y.
a button hook. Yeah. Make them out.
Do the juke lift. It works.
So the House Economic Development and Workforce Investment Committee has passed House Bill 500. This was a measure to provide clarity in the process of selecting private barrels of bourbon at Kentucky distilleries. This was sponsored by House Majority Whip Chad McCoy, and House Bill 500 would establish and legitimize the private barrel selection process with no sample sizes or bottle limits, creating privilege parity with other entities offering private barrel selections. This bill has other similar goals and to also not just legitimize the barrel process, but there was also Senate Bill 160 that passed the Senate Licensing and Occupations Committee earlier this week. House Bill actually goes further than the Senate bill that also allows distillers to sell barrel select bottles of the product directly to consumers through their gift shop. So House Bill 500 will allow distillers to open also one satellite gift shop to offer tasting and barrel select bottles as an extension of their retail license. House Bill 500 now advances to the full House for considerations. Now, I will say, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, we came on here talking about how barrel picks are risk, and I was very pessimistic because I just said, what's wrong for the past 10 years? Why do we have to do this? Is somebody just trying to make a name for themselves? But apparently what I have learned over the past few weeks is that it was the Kentucky ABC that advised that the law needed to be changed. Either way, I don't feel that enforcement was going to happen, but I am more or less in favor to see what House Bill 500 is going to have, only because it keeps adding all these extra pieces. I like the idea of having that satellite gift shop to be able to offer tasting and barrel select bottles as an extension of your retail license. So you can open up multiple places. You don't have to have, you know, more of licenses and all the back end bureaucracy that goes into getting all that nonsense set up as well.
You want to have a gift or retail shop in a high traffic area. And that's not conducive to a distillery or warehousing, you know,
no,
because you have to have semi trucks coming in. You have to have, you know, there's just a lot of behind the scenes processes that go on at a distillery, and it really, you know, a gift shop and restaurant or whatever really gets in the way of all that. So it's nice to see that they can be able to do this. And it kind of helps us as we plan long term that we can go
for us. Yeah.
We can go get a shitty warehouse somewhere in a low rent district, but put a gift shop in the high rent district.
I mean, it's kind of like what Michter's does already. They've got their distillery that's out in Shively, and they've got warehouses all over the place, but then they've got their kind of, you know, their dog and pony show, or not dog and pony, they got their, you know, they got their really nice setup downtown. Yeah. And I bet you they probably are looking at this like, God, we were just a few years too early.
Yeah, I mean, all of those downtown distilleries, those stills are just like for show. It's not.
Yeah,
like,
they're not producing much.
I mean, like the Evan Williams one makes what, a barrel a day.
Yeah.
The
Old Forester, same thing.
I don't even know if the Michter's ones makes a half barrel a day. It's very tiny.
It's just something to kind of get around the law, but
yeah, the loophole. Mm-hmm. I think. So it did pass. I remember getting this email 2 days ago from Adam Johnson, you know, saying here's what's going to be included in the bill, and we're asking them to pass. So it did pass since Tuesday.
It now advances to the full House for consideration. That's what it says.
Gotcha.
So I still think that if you want to be a part of this, there is still opportunity for you to go and sign up. I know that the Kentucky Distillers Association, as well as the Kentucky Bourbon Trail, put out a link, and you can go and you can probably find it on their Twitter feed, and you can go ahead and I guess if you're in Kentucky to help and coax your senator or representative or whomever to say, go and pass this bill. We need more bourbon.
Yeah. There's a nice, I don't even know how to read the website to go to,
but it's okay. You just stick to showing up and keeping the jokes coming, Ryan.
Yeah, there's some link out there that you can find your Kentucky House representative and ask them to pass HB 500, which I have filled out 2 days ago, and we'll see if Ryan Cecil matters to my representative.
Did you put it Ryan at bourbonpursuit.com, or did you keep your regular Gmail?
I did my Go Green stuff.
Oh, see, that's what we got to do. You got to put the pressure on. Think the industry's watching them.
So yeah, I just don't want it bothering me. I don't know. I don't like the government knowing who I am.
we'll keep hiding as much money.
They know
as we
enough
can
of my tax returns.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We don't even want to see those yet. Well, those are for another day.
Yep.
But let's talk about the value of where the global alcoholic beverage e-commerce market's going. And right now it's forecasted to reach $30.5 billion by 2030. So according to a new report of researcher Insight Ace Analytic, the alcohol e-commerce is currently worth around $2.19 billion, and that the research is expected to say that it's going to expand at a compound annual growth rate of 34.3% from 2022 to 2030. Insight Ace Analytic noted that the North American region is set to bring the biggest sales, and the Asia Pacific region is also going to demonstrate the fastest growth in online sales due to the changing consumer lifestyle patterns. IWSR Drinks Market Analysis has also predicted the growth of alcohol e-commerce and expects the market to expand by 66% globally between 2020 and 2025. So,
yeah,
go buy Sealbox. Is Sealbox up for? Can we get some money together and buy that out of Blake? Because who knows, he might be in a raw position right now.
Yeah, I'll take 10% Blake for a few cases of Pursuit United.
There we go.
I think that's just a little overambitious, though. Even through COVID, like in Asia, I could understand. In Asia, you know, probably I think like 60% of retail sales are online. And in Europe, it's like in the 40%. But U.S., even through COVID, never got above 25%. And it actually went down last holiday season to like 20% of just like normal retail sales. So maybe in 2030 it gets there, but I don't know.
Well, they were saying everybody's hedging bets. You know, Uber purchased Drizzly.
I still think it's going to be a big business. I just don't know that it'll be 30 to 40% of, you know, all of liquor sales. I think it'll be a nice, it's something definitely everybody wants to be a part of. I just don't know that it'll be that big, but who knows? What I've learned the past 3 years is that us humans are very terrible at predicting the future. and it just continues on.
Well, if you'll take that side, I'll take the other side. And I'll say it's probably going to get pretty close to it. I just know that the way that the shifting of just everything is going to an online first sort of approach. I think this is just going to be one step in that direction. However, we talk about the e-commerce market all the time, but the alcoholic beverage side of things is so stuck in a, you know, archaic time that it's going to be hard to really break through and make those numbers unless there's some real change happening at a foundational level, but it's got to go across at a federal level. This whole state-to-state BS is just too much, and I don't feel that as long as there's a governor that doesn't want to allow shipping to his state because he thinks it's going to skirt around him collecting taxes, then we're always going to have a problem.
Yeah, and I mean, though, too, now, like with gas prices the way they are, just like shipping, when does at some point shipping just become so expensive? You're just like, I'm just going to go to my store, you know?
I mean, but the thing
it's
is
already
is that,
expensive.
But that shipping had to happen no matter what, right? Whether it shipped on a truck or whether it, you know, actually it shipped on a truck or whether that came in a box truck from a distributor that came to the store, like at some point, like the costs are all going to fold into it. I don't see a way around it.
But then you're adding another tier to shipping.
I know.
Because I assume the way this is going to happen is it's going to go through, still going to go through the three tiers to get to, you know, to get to those numbers. It's still going to, the three tier system's got to be involved. There's no way that it is just direct to consumer only from the distillery without cutting those other tiers out.
I totally agree. And not to get, you know, too much into the gasoline stuff, but I have a feeling that it's like everything else. Like it's going to regulate, it's going to either normalize, go back down, or everybody's just going to get paid more. And then it's just going to normalize. Like it's something's going to happen. Everybody can bitch about it as much as they want. But at some point, like that's just the fluidity of the market, and who's ever holding the gasoline or the oil reserves is the one that's in power. And it's like, you look at it, it's not like BP and Chevron. It's not like their stock is tanking. They're doing okay.
I remember, because we had these same prices 10, 11 years ago, and then they dropped back down. Now they're back up.
Yeah.
It's, who knows? Like I said, we're terrible at predicting the future.
We are.
We have yet to hit a round table prediction yet, so why are we?
why try to start now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Maker's Mark, they are unveiling a new Maker's Mark 46 bottle and the design as well that highlights the brand's homemade values and helps better tell the story of the beloved and distinguished liquid that the fans have come to know and love. The new design puts the uniqueness of the liquid on full display, differentiating itself from the proprietary French oak process that gives Maker's 46 its characteristics layer of faceted flavor. Man, that was a tongue twister. While the bourbon inside of the bottle remains the same, the new bottle design reinforces the consistency of the brand's visual identity and tangibly brings it to life its premium legacy. Rob Samuels even said, on a distillery tour, a visitor told me he always thought Maker's 46 was aged for 46 years. And he said, not at that price, he joked. He says, I still chuckle about it, but I admire the bottle can cause confusion. That's why we decided to enhance the package in a great way, bringing it closer to my grandmother Margie's iconic design and stating clearly on the label of what 46 is all about, a first-of-its-kind French-oaked bourbon.
What does 46 mean? I can't remember.
It's the type of stave. So they had the 46
so stave. Stave number 46?
Okay. I don't know if it was number 46. I mean, we've talked to the people at ISC before because they were definitely a huge player in 46. And so this was kind of Bill Samuels' last hurrah, and that's what he wanted this to be known for, was Maker's 46. And so he said, what's something that we can do? Because it's not like they were to come out with a new recipe or anything like that. He said, how can we take what we have and put our own kind of spin on it? And so I know we have some episodes out there, either it was with Bill Samuels or with ISC. And then we talked about the 46 process, and I don't know if it was actually the number. I think it was just they called it 46. I don't remember why. But it was a French oaked type of stave that they used.
Gotcha. I do like the 46.
And I mean, it's just like something different, right? I mean, you gotta.
And I love all those, whatever, RC, AC, DC,
FAE,
FAEs,
RC, DC, AC. Yeah, something like that.
All those coated staves. Mm-hmm. Those are always good too.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's still got the red wax.
They're not getting rid of that. It's kind of, yeah. If they didn't, I don't know what they would do. I mean, just put a screw cap on and be like, here you go. Here's our new 46. What do you think, y'all?
Really tells the story.
This is what my grandmother had envisioned all along. So in honor of the 125th passing of the Bottled and Bond Act, Buffalo Trace raises a glass to salute E.H. Taylor Jr. with a commemorative single barrel release hand-selected by Grammy Award winner Chris Stapleton. The joining of the two stalwarts of the Kentucky, E.H. Taylor Jr. and Chris Stapleton, resulted in their Bottled and Bond commemorative Chris Stapleton single barrel bourbon, which is being donated to the Stapleton's charitable fund of called Outlaw State of Kind. This is the second year of the partnership between the two, and the two prize packs are available for bidding now through March 17th on Charity Buzz. So here's what you can get. There's one bottle of E.H. Taylor's single barrel with a commemorative sticker noting the Bottled and Bond Day and the partnership with Chris Stapleton, including four tickets to Stapleton's April 23rd concert in Lexington, Kentucky, a VIP tour, and a tasting for four at Buffalo Trace. The second one is a bottle as well, plus two tickets to a winner's choice of any Stapleton concert in 2022 and some E.H. Taylor branded merchandise. The remaining bottles will be autographed by Chris Stapleton and used by his charitable fund Outlaw State of Kind throughout the year to raise funds for various causes. Updates on fundraisers will be posted to Outlaw State of Kind.
I love Stapleton. His voice just never gets old. And I'm going to that concert, so
there you go.
Crash that barrel pick. Like, I'm here.
Yeah, well,
I heard about it. We talked about this week in bourbon.
Well, maybe he'll listen to it and he'll invite you backstage. He's not going to invite me because I couldn't probably name you one Chris Stapleton song. That's how bad I am.
Well, Tennessee Whiskey.
Oh,
you got to know that one.
Yeah, okay, I know that one, but that doesn't ring too well with Buffalo Trace, probably. Actually, it probably does now that they now have
a Tennessee distillery.
Yeah,
now.
They do, don't they? Well, never mind.
Yeah.
All right, Chris, you're all right in my book then.
Yeah, I bet those go for a lot because people love anything Sazerac, and then you throw Chris Stapleton super fans in there. Look out! Mm-hmm. That's going to be it'll be good for the charity.
Yeah, it's good for the charity. You know, it's interesting that somebody like this goes that route. Somebody that could probably be potentially creating his own whiskey brand instead goes this route. I mean, it's one of those things that I feel that we're going to see more celebrities start getting into the space, but this is just...
Especially country singers.
It seems it's like a... Gosh.
Like a easy sell.
Because not only is it easy sell, it's just like you create a large enough brand that has enough distribution. You don't have to sell it in stores. All you have to do is just have it registered in every single state and just sell it at, make it an exclusive at every venue you go and tour at, and you're going to sell a ton of whiskey.
Those satellite gift shops, you know, coming through. House Bill 500 in every state.
Yep. Well, Buffalo Trace still stays in the news because they had a recent scare after an incendiary World War II bomb was found on the property. The incident happened last Wednesday when the archives team found the bomb while unpacking boxes from Booth's Gin. And this is according to Amy Presky, a spokesperson for Buffalo Trace. The building was evacuated and Kentucky State Police were called to the scene to safely remove the device. However, no one was injured and the device was safely removed from the distillery without incident, according to Amy. It's unknown how long the bomb was there, and World War II ordnance discoveries aren't uncommon, according to the Daily American Military newspaper, Stars and Stripes. So Japanese soldiers disarmed a 550-pound World War II bomb last month after it was discovered buried underground. Unexploded bombs have also frequently been found in other countries in the decades following World War II, such as Germany, according to a 2015 report from the Washington Post. In addition to the World War II ordnance, explosives from the Vietnam War are still often found, and even some discovered explosives dating back to the Civil War, according to the Washington Post report. So that's one scary news article you didn't really see blowing up everywhere, did you?
Definitely not.
One didn't make Mark Brown's newsletter.
You open that one, you're like, security?
I mean, I'm pretty sure that they were in no harm of it ever exploding or anything like that. But I read it and I was how did this not make bigger headlines? I just don't get it. But it's probably something that's just, it was a local newspaper that kind of caught wind of it, but it wasn't an actual press release that went out. But
it's probably somebody scanning the police radio in town. Hey man, I heard their Buffalo Trace, they got a bomb in their bourbon. Let's go check it out.
I can't even make a good comeback to that. Oh man,
that's what my grandparents we used to do is before, because they didn't have cable or satellite or anything, you would just they turn on the police scanner, the fire, and just listen.
Oh, really?
It was hilarious.
Man, that's what the like, only time
cat,
people
listen, cat stuck in a tree. Let's go.
The only time that people hear listen to the police scanner is usually on national championship day around here in Kentucky to figure out
where the couches are on
fire. Yeah, what couches are on fire. That's kind of it's a bad thing to be known for, but we're unfortunately known for it.
Well, because we win.
That's right. Yeah, that's what it is. Hate us because of the anus. So Brown-Forman Corporation, they reported their financial results for the third quarter and 9 months ended back on January 31st, 2022. For the third quarter, the company's reported net sales had it increased around 14% over the prior year. And I have the number in here, and then I just must have fat fingered it. So I don't know the exact number, but I can tell you why this happened. And that's the Jack Daniel's family of brands grew a reported of net sales powered by a 12% reported net sales growth from Jack Daniel's Tennessee whiskey. And that also continued the international launch of Jack Daniel's Tennessee Apple and strong consumer demand for Jack Daniel's RTDs that were significant contributors to growth. Supply chain disruptions, however, adversely impacted the results for Jack Daniel's, the Tennessee Honey, and their Tennessee Fire, and Gentleman Jack during the first 9 months of the fiscal year. Premium bourbons led by Woodford Reserve and Old Forester grew a reported net sales of 10%, and Woodford Reserve's reported net sales moderated, their net sales were actually halted by supply chain disruptions, resulting in a net decrease in distributor inventories. However, the tequila portfolio grew reported net sales in 19%, driven by double-digit growth, propelled by Herradura and Hell Jimador.
I like both of those. Those are good tequila.
Well, it's a weird thing is, like, I don't really like to put the financial stuff in here, but who knows? Like, if people like hearing the financial stuff, let me know. It's always interesting to see if you care about how well a publicly traded company is doing as it relates to bourbon. We can always slice it in here. It's just always one of those things that I don't know if people care if they're like, just tell me what's on the shelf. I don't really care, but it's not like
I find it interesting, but
yeah,
it just does.
I ended up buying some Brown-Forman stock. So now I guess I should come out and say like, oh yes, all disclosure. I bought maybe a share or a half share or something like that. when I realized that Schwab allowed you to start buying not a full share, you could start buying like slices of shares. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I don't need to buy a full thing of Tesla. Like, I can just buy a little bit.
What is their share at Brown-Forman?
We can look it up real quick. So Brown-Forman, their stock price is at $64.24. So I could at least buy one. I think I could probably just get rid of a bottle and buy.
You only bought one share?
Dude, I don't know. I'd have to go look.
Now we're going to. How much do you have in the stock market, Kenny?
I'm not going to divulge all that just because I'm pretty sure everybody's portfolio is tanked right now. So if you have the funds, now's the time to buy. Who knows? But
I need some Brown-Forman stock in my life because everything else in mine's down.
Yeah. Well, in the past year, if you want to go through the 1 year right now, Brown-Forman stock is actually down around 10%.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not a bad time.
Yeah, I thought it was down because of the supply chain issues. Like, it wasn't because of demand. It was just because they couldn't get product out the door.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and I think I read like where their year end, they still like made a net profit of like $60 million, but their stock price went down. And I'm like,
how's that happen?
I don't get it. You know, like Amazon makes, you know, for years made zero profit and their stock price just went up. Brown-Forman makes $60 million in profit. It goes down. I don't get it.
It's a big racket. Remember? That's how it all works.
It is.
So our last news story is that Evan Williams, of course, they are, and like everybody else, proud to support the U.S. military and veterans. However, they're doing it through their American Made Heroes Foundation Fund. This was first established back in 2020, but the fund continues to support veteran communities since the launching of the Evan Williams American Made Heroes program and their limited edition label back in 2015. To date, Evan Williams has recognized 42 veteran heroes on its own American Hero Edition bottles and donated $450,000 to nonprofits. For the third consecutive year through their American Made Heroes Foundation, Evan Williams will be donating up to $75,000 to veteran causes with each grant totaling between $4,000 to $6,000. The foundation fund applications are now open for the next few weeks. Actually, it's now you can apply now through April 1st, 2022, and it can be done at American Made. Sorry, I almost said American. AmericanMadeHeroes.com.
That's awesome. Yeah. Shout out to all our veterans. Appreciate your service. And this is great. Especially when times like these, you really appreciate everybody who's, you know, sacrificed their, you know, everything for us. So thank you for all that.
Yeah, second that one. And if you work with a veteran sponsored nonprofit, it's, again, this is all just for eligible nonprofits, so they can, you can get grants going to whatever it is to help support. I know we've talked about it multiple times, I think on probably This Week in Bourbon before, when they actually issued the grants sometime last year, because we had launched this in, I think, October of last year. And at some point we had ended up talking about all the different funds that it went to. I think it's probably like 15 to 30. So there's a lot of them. So just make sure you go, if you work with them, go and apply, American-MadeHeroes.com. Let's go ahead. We'll take a break and we'll be back with some bourbon release news.
If you're anything like me, then you can't get enough about bourbon. And that's why I'm a subscriber to Bourbon Plus magazine. Bourbon Plus is a quarterly publication that tells the stories from the heart of bourbon, the farmers who grow the grain, the distillers who labor over the process, and the people, like you and me, who raise their glasses to celebrate it all. Subscribe to Bourbon Plus magazine today at bourbonplus.com, that's P-L-U-S.com, and use code PURSUIT at checkout for $5 off your subscription. Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point-of-sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. And with Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. And you can get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bourbon, all lowercase, and go to shopify.com/bourbon to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/bourbon.
All right. Here's some bourbon release news coming at you. And this is probably the most bourbon release news we've had in a while, even though absolutely none of this has to do with spring releases or anything like that. Oh, actually, there's a little bit of spring release stuff in there. But a lot of this is just kind of just like what's been happening around the block of bourbon release stuff. And as you may or may not like this, but there is quite a bit of RTD talk as we start getting here as well. And that just, maybe it's just because there's a bunch of whiskey brands getting RTDs.
Summer's coming.
Yeah, that's true.
RTDs are made for summer.
Yeah. Fill up your boats now before gas prices go up even higher.
Right for the boat. Okay. I know. That's what my father-in-law is like. The boat may not be leaving the dock. You might tube just like 100 yards.
Yeah. Well,
that's it.
We'll fashion some paddles out of barrels or something like that. We'll get out there. We'll make it happen.
That's right.
But before we get into RTDs, let's talk about some bourbon. So this is starting in March of 2022, which we are in March right now, but Chattanooga Whiskey's 2022 single barrel picks will be broadly distributed as a mix of four packs, and you'll have four different high malt bourbon recipes, each one hand-selected by their own distilling team. So in addition to their signature Barrel 91 recipe, the Chattanooga Whiskey distilling team has scaled up a number of award-winning Tennessee high malt recipes originating from their experimental single batch series. So each one of the four mash bills, known as SB091, wheated, roasted, and peated, contain a variety of unique specialty malts, each of which impart a variety of rich aromas and flavors to the whiskey. Each mix pack contains at least one bottle of each mash bill, giving consumers a variety of options to pick from. So while buying an entire Chattanooga whiskey single barrel will not be an option in 2022, this single barrel mix pack will be more widely available in the marketplace than in years past. And more importantly, it demonstrates our distiller's innovative spirit to push the limits and change the rules of great bourbon and whiskey, said their CEO and founder, Tim Pearson. So aged over 4 years, Chattanooga whiskey single barrels are bottled uncut at barrel strength and the tasting notes for each mash bill are available at chatwhiskey.com, and it's available at a suggested retail price of $60 for a 750 ml bottle. So you heard it here first.
I guess
nobody gets a single barrel of Chattanooga whiskey. I'm
glad we got one last year then.
Yes. Yeah. We got one and it sold out in record time. I know. But I mean, this is an interesting way to do it. I mean, it's, I understand.
So are those in like 375s or 200s? Or
it
are they,
says 750s.
Or is it a full, so you get four 750s?
I guess. Or they're just going to be like, they're just going to be distributed out like as just like line extensions and you just got to go and find them and find all four.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
I thought it came in a four pack.
It called it a mix pack, but at the very end it says available at a suggested retail price of $60 for a 750 ml bottle. So that's why I was like, is it there? But this is a different way to kind of do things because, of course, I'm sure there are people lined up out the door to go and do a single barrel pick. And, you know, fortunately, we were selected to do one last year. And, you know, me being me, I'd probably knock on his door and be like, hey, get another one. Like, what do you think?
Send him an email after this.
And so this is a way to not choose favorites and just kind of put it all out there in market. And you kind of, I think the only thing you miss is that whole, you know, face-to-face
picking
experience.
The barrel.
Yeah, picking the barrel sort of thing. And you just gotta go and find all four and
trust
try all
the distillers.
Mm-hmm. That's what it comes down to. Which, interesting way to do things.
I trust them. They got some good people there at Chattanooga, so I trust them.
I like their malting. It's all good stuff.
It's not like Harlan or Jimmy, or I mean, sorry, Eddie, going and be like, just pick this one for,
just put
for
it out
this
there.
State.
It'll be fine. Yeah. I wouldn't worry about it. All right, here we go. RTD Pursuit. This week in RTD's coming at you. Because all we got is RTD talk for a little bit here. So Bullet Frontier Whiskey is introducing a premium line of whiskey-based ready-to-serve cocktails called the Bullet Crafted Cocktails. These perfectly crafted drinks are ready to pour straight from the bottle with the Bullet Manhattan and the Bullet Old Fashioned. So to help the launch of the Bullet Crafted Cocktails, the brand is putting ready-to-serve cocktails in the hands of those on the frontier by working with bartenders on a content series exploring the unique ways to garnish and by celebrating with cultural pioneers, starting with those breaking the boundaries of film and television at the Film Independent Spirit Awards in Los Angeles. Bullet Crafted Cocktails are a permanent addition to the Bullet portfolio and are now available nationwide. The Bullet Manhattan and the Bullet Old Fashioned ready-to-serve cocktails are available in 375 and 750 ml bottles. They are 75 proof and has a suggested retail price of $30.
For how many?
One. $30 for one. But it's literally a cocktail in a bottle. It's not like...
Oh, it's not just like
not
a can.
It's not a can. It's a cocktail in a bottle. It's still technically to drink.
So it's like the Gold Fashion or the big bottle we tried.
Yeah,
what was that called?
So it's, the Gold Fashion. I mean, there's a lot of them out there. What, Jefferson's had their own Manhattan in a bottle.
Yeah, they have the Manhattan. Yeah.
They had that one. So there's a lot of them that have done it in the past. And I think...
For some reason, I always think of RTDs in a can. So I apologize.
That, well, I mean... Probably that's the more accurate description, but this is that could slide into there, I guess. I don't see a reason why not.
Yeah, I'd love for him to try them and be good, but
it's always easier to make it to yourself sometimes.
Yeah, I got a good system. I like it dialed in, but I'd love to have one in a can. I've yet to have a good like Manhattan or Old Fashioned in a can that I can take on a boat or camping or this and that. So if you're out there. Make it happen.
Do you really need like a 12-ounce Manhattan?
8-ounce. we'll do the mini cans.
Yeah, I was about to say you need like little shooters or something like that. It was like a 12-ounce Manhattan, man. You'd be sipping. Hopefully you're sipping on that one for a while. If not, it's probably like six.
Well, hell,
or
those
seven
Sagamore ones are what, like 10%?
Yeah.
9 or 10%. Those are probably the best ones I've had.
So far.
So far, so.
Until we talk about these and maybe some more roll through the door and they'll let us try some more here.
Yeah, I'm excited to try those Bullet ones. I'm not surprised. I figured Diageo would have those much sooner.
Well, we'll go to the store and we'll pick them up. Maybe we'll have RTD Pursuit or Whiskey in a Can Pursuit, cocktail something. We'll figure it out.
That's right.
So Rod and Hammer's Slow Stills, they're a California distiller of award-winning craft spirits. They are now introducing their new line of RTD canned cocktails. cocktails made with all natural ingredients and Rod and Hammer's Slow Stills whiskey that's cut with Pacific using purified ocean water. These unique I'm sure there's not a lot of salt water in there, but you know, reverse osmosis gets rid of a lot of stuff.
I know, I'm kidding. That sounds good.
These unique variations of traditional canned cocktails are true, bold, and authentic. Flavors include a whiskey margarita, a whiskey mule, and a whiskey paloma, each come in a pack of four 12-ounce cans, 11% ABV, and has a $18 price tag.
See that? Now that's my jam. I want a whiskey paloma. Even if it's Pacific water, salt water.
Tell you what, I'm a big fan of margaritas, but if you tell me I can swap out tequila for some whiskey, I'll give it a go.
Dude. You know I love the bourbon mojitos at Ceviche. Ceviche needs to make a canned cocktail out of those.
No. We need to work on it now. That's what it comes
I know. That's yeah. We need to call. Can't remember their chef's name. Lamas. Anthony Lamas. I'm gonna call him tomorrow.
Well, let's start working on it. Collab.
Let's get an RTD going, man.
Yeah, we'll get with Flavor Man. Two year whiskey. We'll figure it out. Who knows? So. More RTD talk, the Jack Daniel's Distillery is bringing its popular Jack Daniel's canned cocktail series to shelves nationwide following the highly successful regional launch that was back in select states in 2020. So the ready-to-drink cocktails featuring Jack and Cola, Jack Honey and Lemonade, and Jack Apple Fizz will be available across the country starting this month, each offering made with real Jack Daniel's Tennessee whiskey and has a 7% ABV. The retail price for a four-pack of 12-ounce canned cocktails is $13 and single cans are $4.
Dang, that's not bad. Didn't they have those a long time ago?
Well, they've done, and even Jim Beam, like, I mean, they've done Coke, whiskey and Coke in a can in export markets for a very, very long time. But that's what they were talking about, the sales of this being up in the prior part of the episode. However, this is now going to start rolling out nationwide because apparently it was only in select regional markets. So if you saw this, you didn't even know it. You were a test market.
And apparently you liked it.
So much that they said,
they're opening it up.
Let's blow this thing up. Blow the lid off. But that's the end of RTD pursuit right there. So we can go on with more bourbon. Sound good?
Get back to traditional.
So the second batch of Blue Run High Rye Bourbon is being released this week. It's a small batch whiskey with Bourbon Hall of Famer Jim Rutledge overseeing the production at Castle & Key. Blue Run's Kentucky Straight High Rye Bourbon is distilled from 65% yellow corn, 30% rye, and 5% malted barley. The new whiskey director, Shaylin Gammon, oversaw the dumping and blending of all 232 barrels, each that were toasted to a number 4 alligator char and aged in Frankfort and bottled in Bardstown, Kentucky. Blue Run High Rye Bourbon clocks in at 111 proof, and this time it has a $100 SRP and can be found wherever high-end luxury bourbons are sold across the country and Canada this week, as well as online at Blue Run Spirits, powered by Sealbox. However, I did look at the...
You said 230 barrels?
232 barrels, yes. It's a lot.
Dang, so, you're at probably between 40 and 45,000 bottles on that one. So that's a significant jump, and I noticed the price decrease, too.
Increase, is that what you said?
Decrease.
Actually, it's an increase. So,
is it?
Yes. So, it was funny because
the High Rye Bourbon was like 120.
No. So, actually, I started doing some little, I didn't do some digging. They had sent the press release from the prior one, and I looked at it. In the prior press release, batch one had an SRP of $90. So, they actually increased it $10 this time.
Maybe I was thinking of the single barrels.
Yeah, the single barrels are definitely... probably up there. But yeah, this large scale production run, maybe that's why.
What color is the butterfly? Does it say?
It actually said it's the same exact color.
So it's like that, like the
iridescent
candy
kind of thing.
Candy paint.
Candy paint. Yeah. Yeah. I think it just, yeah, it depends on which angle you look at. It starts changing chameleon colors on you, something like that.
That's the best package in bourbon.
It really is.
It always looks good.
It's fantastic. Kudos off to them, but also kudos to Michter's because their master distiller, Dan McKee, and master of maturation, Andrew Wilson, they have approved the release of Michter's US 1 barrel strength rye. The shipment to distributors and importers begins this month and then has a suggested retail, suggested retail price of $100 for a 750 bottle. 750, I'm just spitting all over the place with my words over here, for a 750 ml bottle. This is also a single barrel product, and the average proof of all the barrels in this March 2022 release is 111.6 proof.
Sounds tasty.
It's always a solid one. How often do you get a good 111.6 proof, well-aged Kentucky rye? Not MGP, Kentucky rye.
Yeah, I love the Michter's rye because they're that, you know, more corn forward, mm-hmm. you know, gateway rye, which, yeah, they're nice. The Michter's ones are really good. They were a huge inspiration for United Rye.
See? You hear that, y'all? We love y'all, Michter's. So,
yep. Let's give us some barrels. Let's, no.
I was just gonna say, let's drink some Michter's 25 year together. Maybe we'll just do that. But you know, take some barrels, whatever it is. No, shout out.
Collaboration.
Yeah, I actually saw Andrea at dinner this past weekend when I was out. Went to dinner and saw her out, and she was drinking with a group that she was with. And I don't think she had noticed me yet, but she had a Glencairn with some bourbon. But as we were leaving, I went and stopped to her and I said, I'm sorry, ma'am. Is that Blanton's that you ordered? And the whole table just started cracking up. So
that's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
You like ponies on top of your bone.
All right. So Barrel Bourbon is releasing batch 32. And batch 32 began with a balance of two sets of barrels, a selection of 5 and 6 year old barrels with a creamy and tropical profile, and a selection of 6, 7, and 10 year old barrels vatted for their complex and old woody character. These two sets of barrels were slowly blended over 3 months, and a small group of spice-driven 7 year old barrels were with notes of cinnamon toast, coffee bean, and chocolate were then carefully added to complete the blend. They were distilled and aged in Kentucky, Tennessee, and Indiana, and of course, it's bottled at barrel proof, 115.32, and has an SRP of $90.
I know it'll be good.
It always is.
It's always is.
It's that lucky batch number 32. It'll be a surefire winner.
Can't wait to try it.
Yep. So Buffalo Trace Distillery, they are announcing a new major milestone with the release of OFC Bourbon Whiskey distilled in 1982. This ultra-rare whiskey is the distillery's only vintage-dated bourbon and will be the first bourbon release in a colossal 6-liter-sized bottle and sold as an NFT on blockbar.com. The 5 bottles of this highly limited release are part of the 2,022 bottles that Buffalo Trace Distillery has pledged to give away in the year of 2022, and they'll be auctioned off during a 5-day event starting on Monday, March 14th. It marks Block Bar's first ever auction and the first bourbon sold on its platform. The 5 bottles of OFC 1982 will be auctioned off with a starting bid of approximately $25,000, or around 8.83 ETH. Bids can be placed on blockbar.com, and they are using Ethereum as well as fiat. Let's see. It's going to end on Friday, March 18th. And proceeds from each winning, the final bids will benefit the following charities. The World Central Kitchen, which is a nonprofit that goes to provide meals in response to humanitarians, climate and community in crisis, currently supporting thousands of refugees in and around Ukraine. The James Beard Foundation, Elton John AIDS Foundation, the Art of Elysium, and 261 Fearless. Each of the 5 NFTs will represent an authentic 6-liter size bottle of OFC Vintage 1982 that will be available to redeem by December 31st, 2022. And when redeemed, the NFT holder will also unlock a personal invitation to Buffalo Trace for a private VIP tour experience that includes exclusive tasting of whiskeys from its rarest and most sought-after private collections, including some previous vintages of OFCs.
And hopefully you get to stay at the cabin on top of the hill.
I mean, starting bid of $25,000. What do you think that's going to go to per bottle?
Oh, gosh.
I'm going to say 8.
I'd say 6 figures.
You think so? Yeah, I could probably see it. I mean, gosh, I just wish I would have invested in crypto a lot earlier, and then you would have just compounded all your Ethereum into something, and you'd be like, oh, I'm just kind of playing with house money on this.
But aren't all these politicians trying to like shut down crypto to like get it Russia or something? I don't know. Like,
they're not trying to shut it down. Everybody wants to collect taxes on it. That's all it comes down to.
Right.
And so that's kind of already started. You have to have some sort of special limit or rate or whatever it is, and you'll get a 1099 in the mail or something like that. I don't really know what it is, but there's definitely a push for something like that. But shit, you're not going to, like, crypto's not going anywhere. That's like Trump saying he was going to shut down TikTok. Like, that was never going to happen.
I it would surprise me if Six Figures is in these bottles future. I mean, people go crazy over just Blanton. So imagine 1982 OFC, 6 liters of it, and you have an NFT. Like, I mean, people pay for donkey shit on or whatever these drawings are, these digital things on.
Oh yeah, that's a lot. So let's see. So 6 liters is, gosh, how many 750? I'm not going to do the math right now, but it's quite a few bottles out of there. You don't see a 6 liter bottle of bourbon ever. I don't even like the old handles. The
what do you do
old,
with that?
Old granddad cradles. You couldn't even do anything. You would have to keep it in a styrofoam coffin is what you'd have to do to make sure that thing never falls over.
I would be scared to just serve it. It's so heavy. like, oh crap. You know,
I'd have to get my old bottles of,
especially after seeing my friend drop a $3,000 bottle of 15-year-old Pappy at an auction. Yeah, I would be really scared to handle that bad boy.
Yeah, you definitely no butterfingers. Make sure you're about as sober as can be when you go and touch it, and the white glove treatment all the way.
Yeah, I feel like it should come with like an automatic dispensing system.
How about a very long straw? Would that work?
Those Cuvinators or whatever they're called. You go to those wine bars where they have a bottle of wine in there, but it dispenses it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I feel like I would invest in one of those for it.
Just to make sure you don't put my glass over.
That's right.
I don't know. I think it's probably just easier to do what you did as a kid. Just get like 9 or 10 plastic straws, fold it up just a little bit and keep sticking them inside of each other and just suck it out of there.
Just put your finger on top, draw some out.
Exactly.
Get a pipette.
And I'm sure somebody smarter than us that'll figure that part out.
Yep.
But let's talk about the last two big ones. I mean, that's a pretty big bourbon news thing right there. But here's another one. And this is Heaven Hill coming with some movers and shakers here. So Heaven Hill has announced that the spring release, the 2022 edition of Old Fitzgerald Bottle to Bond Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, will be 17 years old. This is comprised of barrels produced in the fall of 2004 and bottled in the spring of 2022. The ninth national release ushers in the latest Hallmark series to be in the Bottled and Bond legacy. It meets the strict requirements of a Bottled and Bond, the product of a single distillery from a single distilling season, aged a minimum of 4 years, and bottled 100 proof or 50% alcohol by volume. This will be available at a suggested retail price of $185. But in addition, they have also released a new product line, and it's called the Heaven Hill Heritage Collection. And the first one is a 17-year-old barrel-proof Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. So this is, a new collection, and it's going to happen every spring. And this annual highly limited release will be featuring some of the distillery's oldest inventory of aging whiskey, heralding the exacting standards of Heaven Hill Distillery as practiced since 1935. The collection will feature one of the 6 traditional American whiskey mash bills produced by Heaven Hill. This first edition features Heaven Hill's, I guess you could call it flagship one, 78% corn, 10% rye, and 12% malted barley, and bottled at barrel proof of 118.2. With an age statement of 17 years, this release is made up of 28% 20-year-old barrels, 44% 19-year-old barrels, and 28% 17-year-old barrels pulled from Deetsville, Glencoe, Schenley, and Heaven Hill's main campus warehouse locations. Each Heaven Hill Heritage Collection bottle will be accompanied by a premium box and a signature blue with double H insignia stamped in gold to signify Heaven Hill. As this will become a signature of the collection, specific attributes such as warehouse site locations, production dates, mash bill percentage, and other designations will be noted prominently on the packaging. So the collection 17-year-old barrel-proof Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey will launch nationally with a limited basis with an SRP of $275.
You know, I used to weed eat probably, ironically, about 17 to 20 years ago, because I was 16, 17 years around the Glencoe warehouses, and all those barrels were probably on the first floor, so there's a chance my grass clippings went through the window into the barrels.
Just touched a barrel.
But, I mean,
I think that sounds
pretty cool.
This is,
and they the have price to. Tags, they I have mean, to. It's expensive, but not like annoyingly expensive.
It's not annoyingly expensive. You're right. Because at a 17 year, they could charge way more than that. But you look
I
at
mean,
it.
Will it? That would probably be like $2,500.
Exactly. Not even a question. But when you look at this, is I feel that this is such a good move to make, because what other high age premium offering do you have? I mean, they came out with the Heaven Hill 27 year a few years ago. That one was just kind of like a one-off. They didn't kind of create a collection around it, create something that they can continue to do. And it's not like you want to take these barrels and put it into Elijah Craig 18 and sell it for $100 less a bottle. So you're looking at how do you keep the premiumization going and how do you elevate the Heaven Hill brand? And this is probably why you're starting to see all the green label, white label pushing off away from the store shelves, because you don't want to be associated with that $12 whiskey. You want to be associated with this $275 whiskey. But in my opinion, this is, you know, they're one of the few distilleries that can pull this off, because they've got the stocks and they've got the good whiskey to kind of go along with it too.
Yeah. Now I love the packaging too. It's beautiful. Yeah. Now you understand why their other whiskeys is now called Quality House.
And not, exactly.
I mean, not Heaven Hill, but,
when I saw this press release, I said, God damn, how many 17-year-old barrels y'all got sitting around?
Well, it's like, you know, because Parker's used to be, you know, this, I feel like. And then it's had some good, decent ones the past couple of years, but there was a, you know, four to five where it was just kind of,
Well, they went through the experimentation phase. Like, that's where they started throwing.
Exactly.
It's like, it either goes to Parker's or it goes to Heaven Hill Select Stock. Beyond that, what do you do with it? And it's not like you want to throw a 17-year-old barrel proof. And I mean, I guess you could throw it in a Parker's, but then you got to throw a price next to it. I think they have enough to go around that they can create all these product extensions and people like us will eat it up. But I do love the transparency that they're doing by saying, this is the percentage that it's made up. These are the warehouses it's pulled from.
Yeah.
Because that's what whiskey geeks love to find. And you're going to have it in some ornate packaging now. I mean, it's a home run right there.
You got to have Deetsville in the package.
Only if they ever come out with one that doesn't have Deetsville in it, everybody's going to be like, nah, I don't know about that.
I'm past hard. It'll be the best tasting whiskey ever. Like,
Glencoe.
No Deetsville.
All right. So here's our last one for the night. And it's not even bourbon, but I saved this one for last because we always see the random stories. So, you know, Marylanders, what does Maryland do best, Ryan?
Crab cakes, football, and Sagamore Rye.
The crab cakes is where I was going for, because they hold Old Bay near to the same level as Pride.
Ooh,
as they do their
Old
state
Bay
flag.
Too.
Yeah, so, you know, white, blue, or so, you know, we got blue crabs with Old Bay as a classic. They've also eaten it on everything from potato chips to cheese curls. It even is in its own hot sauce. But now McCormick & Company is launching Old Bay's own vodka. So McClintock Distilling, it's a Frederick, Maryland-based craft distillery that was founded in 2013, and they were apparently enamored enough with the Old Bay pitch that they built out a dedicated facility to produce the 6x distilled, corn-based, 70-proof vodka that perfectly highlights the quintessential flavor of the iconic Old Bay spice blend, according to the brand.
I guess they got that. I guess that Arby's vodka was so
got everybody
popular.
Thinking.
They just got to double down and be like, we got a seasoning.
We can make it create a vodka. I mean, it's like Arby's, everything you put in a, you know, cocktail.
They got the meats.
Yeah, you put in a cocktail, you put in a, you know, morning cocktail. I'm sure people go crazy over it.
I love Old Bay. I mean, it makes anything taste good.
Well, if I see a bottle of vodka for you, I'll get it for you, Ryan.
But maybe, I don't know, maybe not vodka. I don't know. I guess it'd be good for Bloody Marys, but
easy. Why would it not be good for Bloody Marys?
I feel like you're hamstring to that alone. So maybe the Bloody Mary market is it's that big that
maybe
I don't know.
We should probably consult an actual person who makes cocktails instead of us that says we love our RTDs. If they become pre-mixed for us, we love that.
Can you make us an Old Bay RTD? That's what I'm really missing on my pontoon.
Put a little bit of lime wedge on the side and sprinkle some Old Bay around the can lid. Perfect.
Can you make it taste like Old Bay lemon and shrimp? That's what I'm really looking for.
It's like, could you really use a crawfish boil right now?
Yeah.
All right. So that's going to do it for this really extended version of This Week in Bourbon. I told you there was a lot of news to go through, but we hit a lot of it. But hopefully no more Old Bay vodka next week, and maybe we'll be a little less on the RTD train, but
next week will be Lowry's.
Extra sodium vodka. Here we go.
That's right.
With that, cheers, everybody. We'll see you next time.